Blog Talk Radio. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back from out of faith.
Afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. I thank you for joining me this afternoon. Our foundational scripture will be found in Isaiah 54, verse 2. And in the King James Version, it says, "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Fear not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." And we thank God for the reading of his word. And today's message is about enlarging our tent. A lot of times we ask God to enlarge our territory, but we don't really take the time to seek God about the enlargement, the enlarging areas that we need to focus on. There are some things that God has given us to do, and there are some things that God is going to do. A lot of times, through the trials and the tribulations, through the hurts and the pains, God is enlarging our territory. However, we don't always understand that process. So I want to share 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, the 9th and the 10th verse before we get into the message. And it's going to be interactive, so I'm going to take everyone off of mute. And I'm going to also share a poem that's going to take us directly into the message. So 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. But his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would indeed bless me and enlarge my border, which is property, and that your hand would be with me, and you would keep me from evil so that it does not hurt me." And God granted his request. So Jabez, when he asked, when he prayed that prayer, Jabez wasn't asking God to bless him because, or to enlarge his territory, because he wanted to do all of these things for himself and be successful. And I mean, it's okay to be successful, but Jabez was asking God to enlarge his territory and doing the work that God had called him to do. So I want you to meditate on that as we go throughout this message today about enlarging our tent. Now, the song that was playing was "You're Bigger" by Jacqueline Carr. And I want to go over the words of the song just for a moment. because she opened up, the first line says, you're bigger than the universe, you're bigger than the sun and the stars, you're bigger than the things that can tear me apart. And I'm going to stop right there. Oftentimes, it's the things that tear us apart that God is using to enlarge our territory. But we tend to run away from our hurt and our pain. We don't complete the process. So when we look at the scripture in the King James Version for Isaiah 54 in verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not. Spare not. Like, don't hold back. And then it says, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Well, how can we lengthen our cords and how can we strengthen our stakes if we're sparing not, if we're holding back? So most of the times, this is like, not that this is a negative message, but I just want to focus on some of the negative things that happen to us that prevents us from moving forward and beyond with the things that God has called us to do. Now, when we ask God to enlarge our territory, we ask God to enlarge our business, our ministry, whatever it is that we are doing for God, the first thing we need to do is look at our motives. Why do you want your territory to be enlarged? And once God enlarges your territory, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to use it for God's glory, or are you going to use it for your glory? So as we go forward, if you have any questions, you can please press 1, and I will place you in the queue. And I want to start with a poem that I wrote, which is going to be connected into the bigger part. So just hold, you know, bear with me a moment. The name of this poem is The Process of Enlargement, and it is inspired by Isaiah, the 54th chapter in the second verse. Expansion, the process of enlargement, to increase in size, to increase in wisdom, to increase in knowledge, to increase in understanding. My eyes are closed as I inhaled. The aroma of rain filled my nostrils. Exhaling, I released the possibilities. I gave my ability a responsibility to grow, to advance, to be fruitful and multiply, to flourish, to be strong, to be healthy, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and economically, wealthy, complete balance, prosperous. I feel a shifting taking place, an eruption of joy bubbling deep down inside. A decision was made to become financially and academically successful, to be full of good fortune, bountiful blessings, showers of blessings. The fragrance of the rain is in abundance of rain, plentiful, more than enough. Streams, running into the ocean, expanding, reaching out to those in need, sharing blessings unselfishly, meeting needs of those less fortunate, helping the widows, the needy, and the poor, helping homeless little boys and girls. Enlarge my territory, Lord, for such a time as this. So I'm just going to say a small prayer, and then we're going to open up the lines as we get into this topic of enlarging our tents. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you will release proper understanding of the scriptures shared today. I pray, Father, that you will remove scales from blinded eyes, that you will release the spiritual illumination of your word. Speak to our hearts. Let your spirit guide. Let your word abide as we seek to learn more about your will and your plans for enlarging our territories for your glory. As you speak to each person that will take the time to listen to this message, especially those that have been seeking you, those that have been desiring a closer walk with you and a new desire and passion to grow in their prayer lives. Speak, Father.
Lead and guide us into your paths of righteousness for your name's sake.
Grant us proper understanding of enlarging our coast and what you are requiring of us, and help us to understand that it is not for our personal gain. Please minister to us and help us to remove all misconceptions and misunderstandings of enlarging, of the enlargement of one's territory for the sole purpose of personal gain, for prestige, for riches, for a bigger and a better way of satisfying self. Deliver us from seeking to have our territories enlarged just to satisfy the selfish desires of our hearts. Grant us proper understanding of your will, God. Help us to enlarge our territory. Help us to give our responsibility, our ability of responsibility, by standing accountable for our actions and doing the work that you have called us to do in preparing and studying and investigating and doing our part with enlarging our territory. Because, God, there are some things that you gave us to do, that you have empowered us to do, but when the trials and the tribulations come, we tend to make excuses as to why we cannot do the things that you said that we can do, which we thank you right now for allowing us to stand accountable, God. In the words in the song by Jacqueline Carr that says you're bigger, and she said that you're bigger than the things that tear us apart. God, you're bigger than the things that hurt us. You're bigger than the things that disrupt us. You're bigger than the things that distract us from your purpose. So we thank you today for being glorified, and we thank you for being exalted as you teach us about enlarging our territory. We thank you for teaching us that as we serve others, that our hearts must be pure, and that our heart must be lined up with your will, because as we serve others and make things happen for others and enlarging their territory, God, you are still doing the same thing for us. So we thank you that the sole purpose today is to share, to build, to create unity and harmonious relationships with those that desire to grow through the things that have torn them apart, the things that have moved them away from you, God, and moved us away from your purpose, which is to enlarge our territory. So we thank you for turning our stumbling blocks into stepping stones today. And we thank you for releasing the spirit of humility and for stirring the hearts of those that have a genuine desire to do what it's going to take to enlarge their territory. And Father, we ask that you would help us to understand the character that is needed to sustain us once we get to that place where you are calling us to come up higher, that place where you have enlarged our territory. So we thank you, and we give you all the honor, and we give you all of the glory, and we give you all of the praise. So thank you so much for joining us. And one of the messages I posted on Facebook this morning, it was talking about spiritual cleansing. And for those of you that have been following along with the spiritual cleansing series that we did, we was identifying a lot of our root issues. We did a lot of healing, dealing with matters of the heart, and those things that was preventing us from moving forward in the things of God. So, and right there, I just want to talk about the spare not part, because when we're enlarging our territory, God doesn't want us to, like, think small. He doesn't want us to do things in the little way, and that's why I played the song by Jacqueline Carr entitled Bigger. God, we serve a big God. He's bigger than the universe. He's bigger than the sun. He's bigger than the stars. And the truth is, the assignment that God gave you, it's too big for you, so you think, but it's big enough for God.
God is saying, take off the limitations, remove the restrictions, all of the areas where you have doubts, where things have happened to make you think that it's not going to happen. It is going to happen, but I need you to trust me. I need you to remove everything that serves no purpose. I need you to remove everything that has no value in your life. And I need you to respond to the truth. And the truth is what God said in his word. And we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Areas where you have been making excuses as to why you can't do the things that you want to do, and even the things that God has already told you you was going to do. I want you to journal and write those things down. And as you write those things down, then I want you to have a conversation with God and ask him to show you how to overcome those areas. If there's any negative thoughts, if there's any doubt, if there's any unbelief, if there's any unforgiveness, if there's any bitterness, if there's any anger, if there's any hurt, if there's any pain, these things will prevent you from stretching your tent, from enlarging your tent. So those are some of the things that we want to talk about today, including the spirit of deception, because the smokescreen is the things that tear us apart that Jacqueline Carr was saying in the song. You can, when God gives you instructions and you activate God's plan in your life, when you step out in faith and you start doing the things that God told you to do, all hell is going to break loose around you. And when that happens, we have to be prepared to make a choice. Are we going to focus on the storm winds that are blowing and the waves that are crashing around us? Or are we going to lift our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help came from the Lord? So Peter, when he got out of the boat and walked on water, Peter stayed on top of the water. But when the waves came, he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. But the moment he began to sink, he called out to Jesus, and Jesus was right there to help him. And although the scripture does not say so, they did get over to the other side, and I just believe that they walked over the rest of the way. But what is your storm today? What are the waves that are crashing against your ship? What are the things that have torn you apart? What are the areas where you have swept things under the rug? And I want to go back to spiritual cleansing for a moment, because we were talking about cleaning our refrigerators, how you know you have spills and just stuff in there that needs to go in the trash, and you need to clean the refrigerator. And one of the things we talked about was cheese. When cheese starts to go bad, it gives you several warning signs. You see the ends will start to curl and start to get hard on the end, and sometimes it starts getting a little ashy, or it starts getting a little bit of the white little crumbs on there. And that's a strong indication that this cheese is going bad, and I really need to throw it out. But when we don't throw it out right away, it continues to grow. It'll get, you know, the mildew, the mold will grow on there, and it just gets really, really nasty. So it's the same way with the things that we cover up with our hearts, with the wounds, with the things that tear us apart. And today, God is saying, as we prepare to enlarge our tent, we have to deal with all of those things that are preventing us from tapping into who we are, believing who we are, and doing the things that God said that we can do. So if you have a question or a comment, you can please press 1 to get in the queue, and I will answer your question or allow you to share. And we are having technical difficulties, and I thank you for your patience. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, just let me know by hitting 1. And I thank you so much. Thank you, caller. So we're going to focus on 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter and the 37th verse.
And it says, thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. And these are just some enlargement scriptures. In 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Psalms 18:36, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. And the last scripture, Psalms 118:5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. So as we reflect on these enlarged scriptures, what is God saying to you? What do you see? What did you hear with these scriptures? Because largeness is there. He said, even as the sand is on the seashore, that's how much wisdom and understanding he gave Solomon. So when we think about enlarging our tent, is that something that we can do on our own? Is that something that we need to seek God about? And have you gone to God to ask him what his will is about pursuing your goals, pursuing your plans? And did you stop and ask God, is this okay for me to pursue these goals? See, a lot of times we set out to do things on our own, and God wants us to come to him so that he can confirm or deny that the plans that we're making is lined up with his will. And it's important that we're in his will, because he created us. We were created by God, for his glory. So in the poem, the first part of the poem, it says, the process of enlargement, to increase in size, to increase in wisdom, to increase in knowledge, and to increase in understanding. And that scripture is lined up with, that part of the poem was lined up with the scripture in 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. So when you think about all of the ways that we can enlarge ourselves, how are you enlarging in size? How are you enlarging in wisdom? How are you enlarging in knowledge? And how are you enlarging in understanding? And those questions simply apply to your personal relationship with God and your intimacy with God. Then we want to apply that to how are you increasing in size with your business, with your ministry, with your goals, whatever it is that you set out to do. Did you take the time to do your homework? Did you take your time to study? Did you take your time to understand the process? What is it going to take to enlarge my territory? What are the things that I have already, and what are some of the things that I need? And then this is the eye-opening question. What are the things that are blocking me from enlarging my territory? What are the things that are stopping me from enlarging my territory? What are the things that I'm afraid of? Am I afraid of succeeding? Am I afraid of being successful? Am I afraid of success? And a lot of times, fear will stop people from pursuing their dreams. It will stop them from pursuing their goals. Now, sometimes you can start pursuing your goals and something can trigger you, something can distract you, the storm winds will start blowing. It's many things. But you start out, you're positive, you're excited. Okay, God, I'm going to start this plan. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my word every day. I'm going to set the short-term goals towards my long-term goals. And I commit everything into your hands, and I thank you for leading and guiding me. And so you start out on this path, and you start out well. And all of a sudden, trials, tribulation, tests,
the winds start blowing, the waves start crashing, and confusion comes in, and you get distracted. You're not as focused as you was when you started out on your path. So how do you respond during those times? Do you back up and shut down? Do you move forward and feel the fear and do it anyhow? You see, the enemy is good with causing us to back up. The enemy is good at getting us so distracted and off track that we're no longer focusing on the things that God told us to do and even the things that we said we were going to do. And we start focusing on the storm. We start focusing on the storm winds that are blowing all around us. And it's a smokescreen. It's a distraction to prevent us from doing the things that we set out to do. So the first thing we need to identify is fear. What would you do if you wasn't afraid? Why are you afraid? And what are you afraid of? Are you in agreement with what God said? Because Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? So we're talking about enlarging the place of our tents, and we're talking about stretching forth the curtains of thy habitations. Fear not, don't hold back, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. So it's real easy for people to talk about all of the positive things that catapulted them to that special place in God where they accomplished their goals, where they pleased God and they moved on and they got the job and they started the business and their ministry is doing well and they wrote that book. But people don't tend to talk about the negative things. And to me, I don't even look at them as negative things anymore, because when life gives you lemons, you have to turn them into lemonade. And when things happen to us, it's not about what happens to us. It's about how we respond to the things that happen to us. So when difficult times come, people tend to slow down. And being honest, people tend to shut down. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. But God wants us to feel that hurt, feel that pain, feel that discomfort, and move forward anyhow. Now, Moses and the Israelites, when they was leaving Egypt, they got to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was chasing, was behind them, and the Red Sea was in front of them. So fear kicked in. Here God was, and this is just an example for enlarging the tent, enlarging the territory. Here they was in bondage in Egypt, but now God is delivering them and setting them, Pharaoh let them go. It's like he finally let them go, and they're on their journey. Everything is going well, but they get to a place where it's nothing that they can do in their own strength. It's nothing they could possibly do because they're in front of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army is behind them. So God tells Moses to lift up his rod, and at that moment, Moses lifts up his rod, encourages the people to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And at that very moment, the Red Sea divided and they walked over on dry land. So why am I sharing that with you? Well, God wants you to lift up your rod. And our rod is the word of God. As we speak God's word into our situation, God steps into our situation. And he does the things that we cannot do. There's no way human possible that we could have divided the Red Sea. So when we do our part, God will do his part. Moses was obedient. He lifted up his rod. He spoke to the people. But he was like, God, I'm lifting up this rod in faith. Because before he even got to that point, God had gave him a demonstration of the power of his rod. Even with the rod, when he laid it down and it turned into a snake in front of Pharaoh and the magicians, they did the same thing through magic. But Moses' snake ate the magician's snake. But the point I'm making is God showed Moses the power that was in the rod. And God wants you to know today that there is power in his word. There is power in our mouths, but we have to speak what God says. And going back to those things that tear us apart, when we get to that place where the Red Sea is before us and Pharaoh and the army is behind us, and I'm just talking modern today now, what do you do? Do you operate in fear? Does the panic monster, you know, appear and you get all flustered like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And do you just surrender to the enemy? Or do you surrender to God and say, God, I don't understand everything that's happening right now. Can't go forward. I can't go backwards. But I'm just going to stop right here for a moment and let you know that I trust you. And you said in your word that I will not be put to shame for putting my trust in you. So please tell me what to do. I'm lifting up my rod. You said that you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. And you said that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And so I reject the spirit of fear because, God, I'm afraid. I see all of this water before me, and then I got all of these chariots coming at me behind me. But I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord because, God, I'm going to take you at your word. And I was doubting you for a little bit. And right here, I want you to understand that it's okay to doubt God. It's okay when we don't trust God. A lot of times when we're growing in our relationships, it's the things that tear us apart that strengthens us. The trials and the tribulations, it's the hurts and it's the pains. It's the betrayals. It's the rejection. It's the abandonment. All of the things that we've been talking about through the spiritual cleansing series. And so I want to go back to the cheese for a moment, because in the process of enlarging your tent and sparing not, you have to get rid of the garbage. You have to get rid of everything that is getting old and getting spoiled. And a lot of times we see that change is coming, but we're so comfortable, we're stuck being where we're at. We don't make the necessary changes. So where that cheese was just curling up just a little bit and your situation was just, you know, messing up just a little bit, when you're not in God's will, things won't go right. Things will start falling apart. And sometimes you could be in God's will and things will fall apart. Look at Job. Everything. He lost everything in one day. But I want to open up the lines now. If you have any insight, any questions, any comments, you are more than welcome to share. And caller with the last numbers, 4939, how are you today?
I'm great. I didn't have any questions. I was just responding to you when you said everybody to press 1.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Stay blessed.
All right, you too. So as we continue with the message today, and I'm not going to be before you much longer, I want to ask about the root issues that hold you back. What are those areas that you procrastinate and those areas where you put off making the necessary adjustments that you need to make, which, again, I'm going to go back to the lunch meat, which I was talking about just the cheese, but now let's talk about the lunch meat. When you have lunch meat that starts to go bad, first you'll see that it's going bad because the discoloration are coming near. And sometimes we're busy, we're rushing, trying to get to work or whatever, and we don't throw it in the trash right away. So you leave it in the refrigerator, and then it starts smelling. And you open up the refrigerator, and you say, oh, my goodness, what is that smell? So what are those areas where you are slowly recognizing the need to change in some area, but you're not dealing with it? And those are some of the things for those of you that like to journal. Start writing down those things. What's the cheese that's going bad in your life? What's the lunch meat that's going bad in your life? What are those things that are preventing you from stretching your tent? Now, for all of you that have it together and you're doing everything that God told you to do and you're not experiencing any hardships, any difficulties, and you have enlarged your tent and you on your way, I am so happy for you. That is wonderful. But for those of us that are really struggling with the spare not part, those are the areas that today was the first, like, message. But moving forward, it's going to be more detailed and broken down. And this really is going to be a series for entrepreneurs, for business owners, and for nonprofits, but people that are in the beginning stages of moving forward and doing the things that God has called you to do. Because so many times we start out and things happen. And listen, some people have started out and they did well. And then, the storm wind started blowing. And then they stopped because of discouragement. Now, discouragement, depression, and distractions are the three D's that we need to be aware of. Because I'm going to go back to the poem for a moment. And I encourage you to read and meditate on Isaiah 54, the entire chapter. Now, although I only focused on verse 2, in verse 14, it says, "In righteousness shall thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee." As we reflect on Isaiah 54 and 2, God is saying, enlarge the place of thy tent. That's a prophetic instruction. Whenever you read the word, I like to break it down where we get, because you read and you receive information from God, but then you receive instructions from God. So, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. So that is a prophetic instruction from God. God is not saying, I'm going to enlarge your tent for you. I'm going to stretch your curtains for you. God is saying, enlarge the place of your tent. So that's a prophetic instruction. But why is he saying this? So verse 3 is providing information. He's telling you the result of you enlarging the place of your tent. And that's, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. And then verse 4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. So I want to go back to Isaiah 54 and 14 for a moment, because it says, in righteousness thou shalt be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now, we all know what God is saying to us. However, we do know that sometimes we are oppressed. And we do know that sometimes we struggle with fear and with doubt. So, but God is saying, you will not be ashamed. Neither will you be confounded. So what are those areas, going back to the song, you know, those things that tear us apart? God is bigger than everything that we go through. He's bigger than the hurts. He's bigger than the pain. He's bigger than the disappointment. And guess what? He's bigger than our accomplishment. Sometimes we do everything that we need to do when we experience great accomplishments. We succeed in so many areas. But there's still another level that God wants to take us higher. And sometimes we're afraid because we know we went through hell to get to that place of success. We know that we had to fight the powers and the principalities. But as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we are going to fight every level, every step of the way, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. The enemy is going to fight you. So we need to be mindful of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So while you're, wherever you are in this process of enlarging the place of your tent, with stretching your curtains, spare not. Don't hold back.
Don't be afraid to dream the dream that God has placed inside of you. Don't be afraid to give your ability a responsibility, and don't be afraid to face those issues. What's hiding in your refrigerator? What's hiding underneath the rug? What are those things that you've been putting off because you don't want to deal with it because it makes you uncomfortable, and you have to deal with those things that tore you apart? It's the things that have torn you apart that's going to empower you, that God is going to use to fortify you and help you to advance and move forward and beyond with the things that God has called you to do. So the truth of the matter is, the things that came to tear you apart, and we're living in a time right now where the spirit of deception is running rampant and the spirit of betrayal is high on so many levels, especially in the household. Household witchcraft is running rampant. We got witchcraft in the church. Wherever you are, whatever you are experiencing with your family, with church members, on your job, whatever, take it to God in prayer and leave it there. Forgive them, release them, and bless them. Forgive them, release them, and bless them. Because when we stay there and we harbor the bitterness and the unforgiveness, and don't get me wrong, sometimes it's hard to get over certain things. And that's why we're going to be, next week we're going to I'm going to start with betrayal. Because betrayal has wounded a lot of people. Betrayal has stolen a lot of dreams. Betrayal has shut a lot of people down and has prevented them from moving forward and beyond. So these are some of the things that God had just placed on my heart that is preventing the people from activating his word in their lives. So I pray that something said today has been a blessing to you. And I want to go back to a portion of the poem. And it says, I feel a shifting taking place, an eruption of joy bubbling deep down inside. A decision was made to become financially and academically successful, to be full of good fortune, bountiful blessings, and showers of blessings. The fragrance of the rain is an abundance of rain, plentiful, more than enough, streams, running into the ocean. So do you know the power that God has given to you to get wealth? The reason God wants you to enlarge the place of your tent and to stretch forth your curtains and to spare not is so that he can bless you to be a blessing with kingdom building. The vision that God has given to you is great. The dream that God has given to you, it's great. Now, I want you to also understand that God has individually given you a job to do that's just for you and him. But God has also given you a job to do corporately. So what are you to do for the body of Christ? What is God calling you to do? Where's your heart with missions? Where's your heart with evangelism? Where's your heart with the orphans and the widows and the poor and the needy? You see, God is enlarging your territory so that you can be a blessing to him. But Satan is throwing all kind of booby traps so that he can discourage you and shut you down so that you won't reach the potential that God has deposited inside of you. Because today, God wants you to know that there is greatness inside of you. I don't care what you have gone through. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care who hurt you. I don't care who you hurt in the process. Today is the day of healthy confrontation, and it's time to identify those areas where you have been torn apart, those areas that are preventing you from advancing forward and doing the work that God has called you to do. And my closing part is those areas where you feel stagnant, those areas where you feel like your life isn't going anywhere. Although you are gifted, you're talented, and God give you witty ideas, you're smart, and you got it going on. You can help everybody else. And the truth is, you love kind of being in the background.
You've helped so many people. You've helped people grow their businesses. You help people grow their ministries. And now is your turn, and you're kind of holding back because you don't see your self-worth. You don't see that you are equipped. You don't see that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You don't see that God gave you the power to get wealth. And some of us just don't feel worthy because of the hurts and the pain. It's like when you shine in your light for somebody else, you shining and you shining bright. But when it's time to shine your light for you, you tend to hold back. So those are the areas during this series that we're going to work to really advance and do what God is calling us to do. And even what we want to do, because we're living at a time now where we know that Jesus is coming back soon. More people are getting right with God than ever I have ever witnessed in my life. We have more people repenting. We have more people asking God, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit. God, I don't want to be wrong. I want to be right, because they know time is short. And to be honest, the things that have torn us apart have dominated our lives. It has kept us in bondage. It has lied to us. We have believed the lies. We have embraced the lies, and it stole our identity. And it said, you can't do the things that God said that you can do. So believing the lie caused us to come out of agreement with what God said, when God said, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So why are you feeling stagnant? Now, it can be your own issues and the things that tore you apart that you did not deal with. One. Number two, sometimes you can feel stagnant because people are praying against you. Witches and warlocks, they do incantations and they send curses and they do everything they can to stop you from advancing forward in the things of God. Well, we're going to be doing some strategic prayers, and we're going to be shutting down some of these demonic and satanic walls and altars that have been erected against us, because all entrepreneurs at this point in time, there is strong demonic oppression that is being sent against God's people, which is why I went back to the poem and started talking about the showers of blessings and the fragrance of the rain and the abundance of the rain. And plentiful, more than enough, streams running into the ocean, running into the ocean. So you are just one drop in the ocean. I am just one drop in the ocean. But together, we put our drops together. Oh, my goodness. How much more powerful that will be. How much more powerful we will be when we see ourselves through God's eyes. Now, every Thursday night, we're on the prayer line, and we have been talking about how do you see yourself. And last week I was talking about Joshua and the 10 spies, Joshua and Caleb. But the God, Moses sent out 12 spies to see the land flowing with milk and honey, and they were supposed to come back and give a report of what they saw. Well, as they went, I'm going to use the example of they was enlarging their tent. They were stretching their curtain because they was really preparing to conquer the land, because God had already told them in Joshua, the first chapter, that he had given them the land. So now Moses gave them instructions to go spy the land. Now they all equipped. They all had the same eyes. They saw the same thing, but yet 10 people doubted. All they saw was the giants in the land. But Joshua and Caleb, they saw the land flowing with milk and honey. They saw the fruit. And they cut down the grapes and they took them back to Moses so that he could see. So as I close, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself through God's eyes, or do you see yourself as a grasshopper? Because the 10 spies that saw the giants in the land, they got intimidated by the giants. They got manipulated by the giants. And guess what? The giants didn't even say anything to them, didn't do anything to them. All they did was look at the giants in the land. So who is your giant today? How tall is your giant? How big is your giant? Who is manipulating you? Who is intimidating you? God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. And God said in his word that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But he said, be strong and of good courage. And why did he say be strong and of good courage? Well, he told Moses he had to arise and go over this Jordan. So what is God saying to you today? God is telling me to tell you that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. In verse 5 of Joshua 1, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. So, in enlarging our tents, we must understand the context in which we are enlarging. God has already empowered us. God has already equipped us. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. In Isaiah 54:17, it tells us that surely they shall gather, but not by me. So when you set out to do the things that God is calling you to do, if you on this call and you want to enlarge your tent, you want to stretch your tent, you want to do the things that God is calling you to do, and maybe you've been focusing on the wrong things, listen, that's okay. That's what this message is all about. We're going to turn all of the lemons that life has given us, we're going to turn it into lemonade. We're going to turn all of those stumbling blocks into stepping stones, because this, my sister, this, my brother, is about your inheritance blessing. And while you're en route to get your inheritance blessing, yes, you're going to see some giants, but God just gave you instructions. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That means no man, no woman, no witch, no warlock, your mother, your brother, your husband, your wife. I don't care about what kind of opposition has been coming up against you. If you have a prayer request, please inbox me, or you can email me at eloquentlyspeaking@gmail.com. Please feel free to join us on Thursday nights for our prayer calls. And we share the message. I have guest speakers, but we share the message, but we always have a Q&A session, and we take the time to pray for everybody that comes on the line. So today our message was enlarging our tents. Enlarging your tent, and I pray that something said has been a blessing to you. Next week, we're going to deal with betrayal and how betrayal can cause us to be stagnant. Betrayal can cause us to back up and stop doing the things that God has called us to do, which betrayal works closely with the spirit of fear and the spirit of isolation and rejection. So when we're isolated and we're dealing with rejection and we're dealing with fear, there's no way that we're going to enlarge our tent, because we're afraid and we don't feel as though we can do it. And then the lies speak to us, and we say, oh, I can't do that. And then God say, yes, you can. And then you go back and forth. And so it's really the last thing I want to leave you with today is to challenge you to also, if you could just get a journal, if you're going to be participating with this series, that would be wonderful, because I'm going to be giving a lot of writing prompts. But if there's any areas where you know you are afraid, and any areas where you have been believing the lies of the enemy, we want to start by tearing down those strongholds in your mind, because it is preventing you from believing what God said. So we could have sessions like this all day long, but if we're not in agreement with what God said, we're not going to do the things that God said. So Shekinah Glory has a very anointed song. All of their songs are, but it's entitled, Take Me at My Word, I'll Do It. Take Me at My Word, I'll Show You. So Don't doubt. If you do doubt, don't feel bad that you doubt. Don't feel bad about the doubt, because sometimes we experience doubt and unbelief, but we can't stay there. So what are those areas where you want to grow and you want to enlarge?
Oh, hold on. I have a caller that has 8246.
How are you this afternoon?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. While you were speaking, I wrote down three things to share, if I may.
Okay. Sure.
All right. And the first one is that the word of God is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder the soul and the spirit. It knows the intent and purposes of the heart. I also jotted down persecution, distractions, doubt comes for the word's sake. It's the word that all of this is coming after, because God's word is powerful when we confess it and speak it in the earth. That gives his word power to perform what its ability is. And also, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And he said in John, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse, and he's talking to the Jews who believe, he said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, and shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. It said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. We have to, I believe, this is what I have to do as a believer and a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have to believe it is not about me. It is always about what I have hid in my heart, because when I hide the word in my heart, all of these distractions and persecutions are going to come, so I won't go and tell to be a blessing to someone else. So I hope this helps someone that's listening, that we have to recognize it's not about us. It's about the word that we are telling, about the goodness of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the love of Jesus. That's why persecution comes, so that you will not enlarge the tent of your heart. God bless you.
God bless you. And Sister Jackie, thank you so much for sharing. You always bring so much insight into the discussions. And you made a very, very good point. And everybody, the lines, I just opened for everyone. So if you do have a comment, you can join in. We're just going to do roundtable at this point before we close out. But so many people can start out on the right path, and we do get distracted. And sometimes success goes to our head, and we lose focus. And so our attention is no longer on pleasing God and being humble servants. And I think it's safe to say we should all be like Jesus. Jesus was a servant. He was a humble servant, and he served the people.
Yes.
And today we want to be served. We don't want to serve. We want to be served.
Mm-hmm.
But Sister Jackie, I don't want to. Don't carry my Bible. Don't fix my plate. Let me go get my own food. Can you sit down so I can wash your feet? Let me wash your feet.
Hey.
Let me pray for you. What can I do for
you? Amen. Praise God.
And that's the areas you hear the passion in my voice. So many leaders have gotten distracted. And I'm just asking everyone to lift the leaders in prayer and pray for them to get back on the right track, because it is easy. We don't need to talk about them or say anything negative. We just need to pray for them, because we all fall short of the glory of God. But ultimately, it's about pleasing God. So thank you so much for bringing that out. And what was that? What was the scriptures you shared again?
The one was Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we know that Philippians 4:19 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And also,
yeah,
a persecution comes for the word's sake. It's not about us, but it's about what we've hid in our heart and our desire to please God, to go out and tell this dying world of his love and how much he loves us. That's why persecution comes. So we can't look at it like it's coming after us and woe is me and why did this happen to me and every time I do this or do that, something happens. But it's for the word that you hid in your heart. Nothing personal.
But you know what? That's true. And amen. And the average person, that's a hard lesson to learn. And
yes,
unless you really, really in tune with the Holy Spirit, because in my journey, I didn't always understand what I understand now. So we have those beginners, we have those intermediate, and then we have the seasoned one. And that's one,
yes,
of the reasons that I was led to start this series, because some people are actually stuck. And they're not stuck because they want to be stuck. They don't know what to do, and they don't understand the persecution. And the best,
right,
thing to say is when you decide to enlarge your tent and step,
mm-hmm,
out and get out of that. Listen, when Peter got out of that boat, I can only,
mm-hmm,
imagine them saying, Peter, what are you doing? You know you can't swim. You better stay in,
yeah,
this boat.
Absolutely.
You know, and the discouragement. But we are going to face persecutions. The things that tear us apart are going to come.
Yes,
but
indeed.
We have to be on God's word, which,
right,
comes back to what you said. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not,
right,
sin against thee.
And he's
the
not
word
a
is
man
all
that should lie. God is not a man that,
yeah,
he should lie. If he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, we have to really believe that, no matter how powerful the situations look.
Right.
Okay.
That's so true.
All right.
All right. Do we have any other comments? Anyone want to share before we go? And if not, I thank you all for joining me. The last thing that I want to say is I believe in everyone, and I believe that you can fly, and I believe that you will fly. God has a great job for you to do, and can't nobody do it like you can do it. So God,
amen,
believes in you. I believe in you. So go forward and do the things that God has called you to do. And those areas,
amen,
where the Holy Spirit was tugging on you, take some time and talk to God today. Talk to the Holy Spirit and just write it out. Thank you for joining me. And we will be meeting next Tuesday at the same time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I apologize for the technical difficulties. We'll get that all worked out next week. But God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.